Join Capital Group CEO Mike Gitlin on the Capital Ideas Podcast. Investment professionals reveal how they find their next great idea, what gives them their investment edge, and a few personal stories. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Capital Client Group, Inc.
The T-Biz Podcast delivers tea news that you need to know. A recap of the week's major headlines with commentary and cultural trends hosted by Dan Bolton. It is the voice of origin for tea professionals and enthusiasts worldwide.
The Tea Biz podcast and blog connect you directly to experts in the tea lands. Listen as their voices reveal the news, innovations, cultural insights, and consumer trends that most impact the industry. Paired with Tea Journey, a digital magazine for tea enthusiasts, the Tea Biz portal is a global resource for everyone who loves tea. Hello, everyone. Here are this week's headlines. Kenya may be forced to borrow billions to pay grower bonus. China and Vietnam tea exports are rebounding in 2024. And Turkish agronomists are seeking a drought-resistant Black Sea tea. Plus, the world of tea. The International Wine and Food Society chose tea for its annual beverage monograph this year, and selected tea expert Will Battle to author the pocket-sized 102-page The World of Tea, published in May. Why tea, writes Andrea Warren for the IWFS International Secretariat, quote, tea needs further exploration as it increasingly becomes part of the gastronomic scene. Along with its diversity of styles and flavors, it is attracting the attention of new drinkers, including those keen to enjoy low-alcohol drinks and those that bring health benefits and well-being. The similarities between tea and wine are numerous, which may also pique the interest of wine drinkers, she writes. Will joins us today from his family farm in Lincolnshire countryside to discuss the importance of tea education and the role of tea in promoting health. He also discusses the joy of authoring and paging through a printed monograph, one of a series that spans decades. More in a minute, but first, this important message.
What makes a perfect cup of Ceylon tea? The perfect cup is from the tea businesses that ensure the protection of all the children living within their tea estates. We salute Keilani Valley, Telawakili, Bogawanthalawa, Harana, and Eliptia tea estates. Support Save the Children, Sri Lanka.
Delayed payments from unsold tea in Kenya's western tea-growing regions of Kisii, Nyamira, and portions of Kariko and Nandi will likely force the Kenya Tea Development Agency, KTDA, to borrow billions of shillings to protect the livelihoods of some of the 6 million people directly and indirectly employed in the tea industry. KTDA mortgaged its shares for about 18.2 billion shillings, approximately 140.5 million U.S. dollars, to pay farmers an early bonus in July 2022 before the national election. KTDA later took out approximately 50 million in bank loans and transferred about 4 billion shillings from its network of factories. A payment on the 2022 loan is now due. Insufficient funds from sales may force KTDA to borrow about 20 billion shillings, approximately 154 million U.S. dollars, to fund the annual workers' bonus in October. 60% of the tea on offer during the last week of July remains unsold, compounding a crisis due to oversupply. The stocks of at least 100 million kilos, worth an estimated 32 billion shillings, about 250 million USD, have accumulated during the past year, bursting warehouses, limiting storage for nearly harvested tea, and driving down prices. Exporters took advantage of the situation by ignoring the government's minimum price of $2.43 per kilo, imposed in 2022 to compensate growers facing high inflation and the rising cost of labor and inputs. Pakistan buyers are reportedly paying desperate sellers less than $2 per kilo. According to the Tea Board, Pakistan is the top destination for Kenyan tea, importing 50.8 million kilos in the first quarter, up from 39.3 million kilos recorded during the same period in 2023. According to Agriculture and Crops Development Principal Secretary Paul Ronal, some factories are taking loans to offset growers' dues. Ronal told The Nation that the crisis is worsening at the auction, where sales by volume total only 40% of the tea on offer. Quote, we have about 100 million kilos of unsold tea, which is way above the international set standard of about 30 million kilos, he said while visiting the Mombasa tea auction. His tour included stops at KTDA-run Litine, Capitet, Terroir, and Cap Rocours tea factories that are the worst hit by the glut. Quote, we shall waive warehouse charges as we work around the clock to sell the tea in the next few months, he said. Prime Cabinet Secretary Musalia Mudavadi has demanded a full accounting of stocks far exceeding the domestic market's capacity. The 100 million kilos of untold tea are valued at about 31.58 billion shillings, approximately $244 million U.S. dollars, based on the fixed minimum price of $2.43. It's about 315 shillings per kilo of produce from the western part of the country. The unsold tea is mainly from west of the Rift Valley growing regions. Dr. Rona's admission of a glut came less than 3 weeks after the Nairobi Securities Exchange-listed firm Williamson Tea and Cap Couture Tea recommended the destruction of huge stocks of the unsold commodity held by KTDA to save the industry from being choked by excess supply, which has hurt prices. The two tea firms said tea prices have fallen to unsustainable levels because of market saturation and criticized the minimum pricing system, which has hurt producers unable to supply top-grade tea. In his financial report for the year ended March, Williamson Tea writes that, quote, despite the positive results of the period, the prospects of the company and Kenyan tea industry are dire. Tea prices have declined to unsustainable levels in the face of market saturation and the consequences of an estimated 200 million kilograms of unsold KTDA teas. The report calls for, quote, dramatic action to enable the market to return to a normal dynamic and for prospects to improve. The destruction of all unsold KTDA teas and the removal of the auction minimum price system is needed with immediate effect, writes Williamson. Chinese tea growers exported 196,400 metric tons during the first half of 2024, up 2.2% year over year, according to the Tea Industry Committee of the China Association for the Promotion of International Agricultural Cooperation. Green tea accounted for 87% of total export volume, advancing 1.8% by volume in June compared to June 2023. Black tea volume fell by 26.6% during the same period. During the period, Chinese import volume of tea, mainly from Vietnam, reached 24,400 metric tons, an increase of 41.5%, while the import value of tea reached $72 million, up 10% year on year. According to Wei Yu, Secretary General of the Tea Industry Committee, Belt and Road partner countries were the biggest trade partners during the first 6 months of the year, with their tea trade with China reaching 168,400 metric tons during the period. During an industrial conference in southwest China's Jishu province, the committee released an annual report on China's tea trade with the Belt and Road partner countries. The report points out that green tea was the major export category in the tea trade with Belt and Road partner countries, accounting for 92.4% of the total. Tea exports to the U.S., compiled by First Tea from statistics provided by the China Tea Marketing Association and the U.S. Census Bureau, revealed China tea imports are up 9.4% compared to 2023, but the average price per kilo is down by 22.6% to $3.96 per kilo compared to June 2023. While a quarter of all U.S. green tea imports by volume were from China, the value of this tea was only 11% of total green tea imports, reflecting a big price gap for Japanese green tea imports versus green tea from China. China ranks first in global tea exports globally. According to the General Department of Vietnam Customs, neighboring Vietnam showed a 30% increase in tea exports during the first half of the year. This trend reversed a steep decline in 2023, returning Vietnam to a value growth that had extended from 2019 through 2022. Exports to China quadrupled during the first 2 months of this year, rising 121% in volume and 411% in value to an average of $1.64 per kilo. The Vietnam Tea Association reports that Vietnam currently ranks fifth in the world in tea exports and seventh in global tea production. China's reopening of its border after the COVID-19 panic is the main factor behind the strong growth of tea exports in this huge market, according to the Ministry of Industry and Trade. Turkey sees a tea export opportunity in rising temperatures that have hampered tea production along the Black Sea coast. Sefet Kalyansu, chairperson of the Eastern Black Sea Exporters Association, told Antelope Agency that exports are off to a good start in 2024, continuing a trend that has expanded volume and reach. Turkey exported 2,898 metric tons of tea from January through June, generating $14 million in sales. Belgium received $5.2 million, the United Kingdom $1.9 million, and the U.S. imported $1 million, the top three destinations for Turkish tea. In 2024, Turkey will export to 112 countries, including France, Singapore, Qatar, the People's Republic of China, and Bahrain, which were not among the destinations in the same period last year. Kalyansu described significant efforts to boost tea exports that include experiments in developing drought-resistant cultivars suited to the Black Sea terroir. Quote, "Firstly, addressing the issue of global warming, which is one of the biggest risks in agriculture, is crucial for increasing yield and quality in the crops. This involves improving yield habits, developing innovative products tailored to each country's taste and consumer habits, and focusing on R&D and innovation," said Kalyansu. Scientists in the Black Sea province of Rize have initiated a study to identify drought-tolerant tea varieties, a joint project by Erdogan University and Kikir, the largest tea producer in Turkey. The goal is to safeguard the future of tea cultivation, which is widespread in the region and traditionally relies on rainy climates. 49% of the country's tea exports are from Rize, generating revenue of $6.85 million on exports to 24 countries. The distinct seasons and colder climate along the Black Sea coast see plants covered in snow in the winter. Frost acts as a natural barrier to diseases, meaning the plants don't need chemical protection, lending the leaves a natural, strong flavor. The drought-resistant project involves importing four different tea plants from Japan, China, and Azerbaijan to determine which varieties best adapt to the local climate. 12 high-quality varieties have been identified in Rize's National Tea Gene Pool, which preserves 2,034 tea plant varieties. These varieties will be studied over the next 3 years to ascertain their drought tolerance, and findings will be shared with tea producers. Quote, "In 2008, we launched a comprehensive initiative to collect and preserve Turkey's tea gene resources. From this collection, we identified 12 top candidate varieties," said Keban Yazici, the director of the university's Tea and Tea Products Research Center. Quote, "As we progressed to the recommendation stage, we submitted a project to the Scientific and Technological Research Council of Turkey to identify drought-tolerant varieties crucial for the future of tea agriculture in Turkey and worldwide. We aim to determine the most drought-tolerant varieties among these 12 within the next 3 years, the SEC explained. We aim to offer these to our producers, enabling them to vitalize their tea gardens effectively. Kalyansu also noted the need to support all tea manufacturing companies in the small category. Quote, we believe that by improving yield and quality in the gardens, our tea exports will reach much higher figures and we will become a significant player in the global market, end quote. Next, Arvinda Anantharaman in Bengaluru reports on this week's India Tea News.
India Tea News for the week ending 9th August 2024. We have an update on the Wayanad rescue. At last check, the death toll from the Wayanad landslide stood at 392, with 180 still missing. 10,000 people have been affected so far and are living in relief camps that have been set up. And the search party included 1,174 personnel from various forces and 913 volunteers and locals. The Wire reported that between 2 and 6 a.m. on July 30th, multiple landslides occurred in the villages of Mundakai, Churalmala, Attamala, and Nulpula in the southeastern part of Wayanad district. The devastation was most severe in Mundakai and Churalmala. Satellite images show that 86,000 square meters of land moved downhill. Experts now say that's not only climate change that's to blame, but also construction for tourism and land fragmentation of this fragile landscape, which has rendered it even more vulnerable. In other news, officials from the Tea Board of India visited several tea gardens in North Bengal over the last week to collect green leaf samples for determining leaf quality. And this came after reports that some gardens were mixing tea waste with green leaf. The current rule stipulates that 2% of the total production should be declared as tea waste, to be used for instant tea production or organic manure production. But this is, again, a welcome move towards focusing on tea quality in the gardens. And lastly, Trustee Sustainable Tea Foundation, 11-year-old body focused on the Indian domestic tea industry, has issued its first certificate under the updated version 3.0 code to the Dandaria Tea Company's Banwaripur Tea Estate in Assam. The core aims at sustainability in the tea industry, emphasizing three areas: environment, safety, and livelihoods. And the current code prioritizes soil health and regenerative agriculture, women's safety, and carbon neutrality.
And now, a word from our sponsor.
Hello, I'm Bogdan, a passionate tea drinker and the inventor of the ultimate tea machine, the Brewmaker One. Preparation is key to making fine tea. Sequential steepings deliver the best taste possible and unlock the true value of whole leaf teas and botanicals. Brew automates that process without using any pots or capsules. This simple-to-operate smartphone-controlled device stores steeping profiles to consistently make great tea at the push of a button. Brew also reduces time, waste, and energy. That's because I engineered the brew to remember control settings for temperature, brewing time, and quantity. Using my patented process lets you stack steeps simply and conveniently.
The International Wine and Food Society chose tea for its annual beverage monograph this year, and selected tea expert Will Battle to author the pocket-sized 102-page The World of Tea, published in May. Why tea, writes Andrea Warren for the IWFS International Secretariat, quote, tea needs further exploration as it increasingly becomes part of the gastronomic scene. Along with its diversity of styles and flavors, it is attracting the attention of new drinkers, including those keen to enjoy low-alcohol drinks and those that bring health benefits and well-being. The similarities between tea and wine are numerous, which may also pique the interest of wine drinkers, she writes. Will joins us today from his family farm in Lincolnshire countryside to discuss the importance of tea education and the role of tea in promoting health. He also discusses the joy of authoring and paging through a printed monograph, one of a series that spans decades. Will Battle is a British tea expert who runs Fine Tea Merchants Limited, an import and wholesale business. He has been tasting teas and creating blends for tea lovers for the past 25 years. He authored the World Tea Encyclopedia, published in 2017, with a second edition in 2020. Andrea Warren, speaking for the nonprofit International Wine and Food Society, founded in London in 1933, writes, quote, "It was felt Will was ideally suited to give an introduction to the world of tea. The organization will make the monograph available to its 6,500 members in 130 branches in Europe, North America, Africa, Australia, and Asia. A digital version will be available for purchase from the Society. Visit www.iwfs.org or the TBiz blog for details." One area that I want to chat with you about today is education. I think you're brilliant at that. The encyclopedia was a way for people to get information, but what you've done since in your speaking and multimedia programs, as well as the effort at outreach and explaining to people, is to be praised, and specifically, this little book.
Yeah, for me, it's really important because I think, like all of us, whenever we learn a little bit more about a product, it just makes you want to learn more because it's sort of a bit of a self-perpetuating thing. But the more that we can educate a consuming public, the better it is for all of us in the tea industry if it's encouraging people to drink better tea and more of it. And really, it's slightly self-centered. But also, I think there's a joy in education, isn't there? You know, it provides a bit of intellectual variation as well, being able to try and communicate what's up here to try and sort of communicate that knowledge and enthusiasm. I find that quite a fun challenge. Those are the two main things. It's also fun having the opportunity to talk to people. And one of the things this book's done is given me the opportunity also to go out and we had a launch at Fortnum & Mason, for example, and actually speak to people, be in front of people and try and push the message in person. I really enjoy that side of the job.
Talk about the points you want someone to remember, the key aspects of the 100 pages that would stay with people.
It's actually quite difficult to condense tea into 100 pages. And I know lots of people who've written, you know, people like Kevin Gascoigne and his team, Jane Pettigrew, lots of people who've written about tea will say, you know, 100 pages is definitely not enough to really capture the subject area. And I sort of agree with them. But I think it does a good enough job of covering a bit of history of how and why we drink in the rituals that we do. Why do Canadians drink tea like they do? Why do Australians and Dutchmen drink tea like they do? So that was important to me because I think it informed a lot about the current sort of consumption footprint. And I wanted to really dive into detail at origin as much as I could. And that forms the meat of the book. And try and also talk in some depth about production methodology. I'm quite a big believer that the quality is not defined by the serving methodology or the production methodology or the elevation, anything like that. You know, you can have fantastic CTC, just as you can have terrible CTC. Same with orthodox. You can have great loose leaf and you can have terrible loose leaf. So I tried to sort of take the teabag debate out of the book. So it was keen to me to try and communicate that quality is not defined by the serving methodology. And also I wanted to talk a bit about how to serve tea, a bit about brew temperatures and brew times, and some of the new tea consumption rituals like sparkling tea and lattes and bubble tea and things like that. Also, it was important to me to capture those in the book. And the IWFS, International Wine and Food Society, for them, they're a big membership organization. And for them, it's important to also have locations where one can buy tea that are accessible to their membership. So that forms a small part of the book as well.
Did they reach out to you, or did you pitch them on this idea?
The Secretariat's in London, and I have an old friend from my Tetley days, Sam Kimmins, who's a tutor at the UK Tea Academy. And Sam is friendly with the Andrea who runs the Secretariat, and that was the connection. And that I knew they were trying to do a monograph. They do a new monograph every year, and they've done about 25 years worth of these small snapshots into individual subjects. And the last few years, I then had a read of them. They did a brilliant one on Madeira, one on blended Scotch, another one on Pinot Noir. And I thought those were fascinating, really. They're great sort of entry points into a subject. And having read them, I thought I really want to do the tea version of this. And so I gave them a synopsis, and fortunately it ticked enough boxes to be commissioned. So that was the background to it.
They're printing copies for their members, and the monograph will be available publicly as well, right?
They printed 6,000 of them, I think, in this run. And they're also going to be available on Kindle from this autumn as well.
You covered several aspects of tea health in the monograph. In the tea lands, people accept the goodness of tea, but are only now discovering science-backed, solid evidence of its many functional and condition-specific benefits.
I didn't include anything on health and wellness in my encyclopedia, perhaps partly because I've always been a bit cautious about it. We who have started our careers in big brands are always very cautious about the communication of overt health and wellness related subject matter. Michael Mosley, who sadly died this summer, but he did a brilliant podcast called Just One Thing. And there's one on green tea and one on black tea. And it contains these wonderful bite-sized, real research-based learnings for how you can change one thing about your life to really evolve health benefits from it. I listened to a couple of those and I thought, yeah, we can communicate about this all day long in my book. So that was one thing. It showed me how you can communicate effectively on this matter. Perhaps also another reason why I've tried to put a bit more about it in this monograph is that I'm actually also getting a bit older. So it's interesting to note, you know, where the benefits can come. And I think also there's a lot more compelling research that's been done over the last 5 or 6 years, specifically on things like L-theanine. The reason I mentioned history earlier on in this chat is it actually links back to one of the reasons people started drinking tea in the first place in many respects. You know, that ability to stimulate but also calm is such a fundamental background to our enjoyment of the product. One of the reasons why I've always been a bit wary about communicating on health is because I just think that first and foremost, the reason to drink teas really ought to be that you like drinking it. You enjoy the taste, its ability to refresh, and all those wonderful things tea does to you. And that then it is healthy is a great thing. The main reason is not that it's healthy. The main reason it tastes great and it's not doing you any harm, it's doing you some good.
Andrea Warren mentioned that one reason tea needed further exploration is that it is increasingly becoming part of the gastronomic scene.
The great thing about the International Wine and Food Society is you've got 4,000 ready-made consumers there who are interested in food and drink products. So they've just come off the back of learning everything there is to learn about Madeira. They're probably going to be interested in learning about tea. So the idea was to try and encourage them to dive into it a little bit more and to regard tea as, you know, just, you know, another amazingly complex, but also really gastronomic beverage. And I think I wanted to help people to sort of navigate that journey. And I'm hoping that what might come of it is people decide they want to go to Sri Lanka and come visit a tea estate or South India or Assam or wherever they decide to go. And actually, there's a big readership in the USA and there's a big readership in China. And it'd be great if the Chinese decided they wanted to go and explore some Sri Lankan tea estates. So that was one thing. And the other thing was people who work with tea, specifically people who are working in the out-of-home sector, that's probably one of our biggest training needs in the industry, is training, particularly for us over here in the UK, London five-star hotel staff, and sort of people serving tea in all sorts of out-of-home outlets. I wanted to try and communicate that tea's every bit as exciting and interesting as coffee, more so. I was hoping that the book would serve as a sort of accompaniment to various trainings that happen.
Intrigued by what you heard in today's podcast? Would you like to learn more from our global network of Tea Biz journalists and tea experts? Remember to visit the Tea Biz website for more comprehensive coverage. That's www.t-biz.com. Thanks for listening. Farewell till next week.
Produced by Atavita Studios. Connect your voice to the world.